We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day Wednesday, July 24, post-Rose edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're ready to play ball on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. 16 minutes after 4 o'clock, both of us inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And that's another victory over the Oakland A's, presented by Justin Verlander. And the Houston Astros, 11 strikeouts in another damn strong performance by JV, channeling my inner Les Miles early on a Wednesday. You've been with us long enough. You've listened to me long enough, you understand how these shows work. You just can't schedule a guest in the 4 o'clock hour. Not going to do that to somebody. Hey, could you come on the show today at 4:15? And then you text them at 4:05 and say, the Astros are cutting into it. Sorry. We don't have time for you anymore. So, here's the drill. Clint and I are going to wax on the Stros game. We'll talk about your news of the day. One nugget that I missed yesterday, maybe we just didn't have time for it, on LSU basketball. And then we'll have some Tommy Moffitt clips on the other side of our first break. And if you missed LSU football's director of strength and conditioning, he was awesome yesterday. Chopping it up with myself, Ruffin Rodrigue, the strongest guys on the team, local product Tyler Shelvin, just how far he has come. And so in our first hour, yeah, I know, a bit makeshift. Because you always know when Astro launch is, but it's really tough to decipher, you know, when an Astro or a rocket is going to come back down from orbit. And as we know now, they are done in time for us to do just about all of our two-hour jog. We do have a couple of great guests that are scheduled. However, we knew that this would likely come to fruition in our 5 o'clock hour. At 5:15, Sam Spiegelman. Tremendous job covering Louisiana and Texas for Rivals.com. LSU, are they in the driver's seat? Maybe a percentage chance that they land Jaqueline Roy. And I know there's one service that now has Roy from U High in Baton Rouge as the top prospect in Louisiana for 2020, currently eclipsing Westgate's Kayshawn Boutte. And I don't know if that sticks. I don't know if it matters. But it looks like both could be on a beeline to LSU. That plus the latest on Coy Moore and Billy Napier's efforts recruiting in the Lone Star State. Sam Spiegelman has taken note of that. So we'll catch up with Sam at 5:15. Speaking of the Sun Belt, Chip Lindsey, first-year head coach of the Troy Trojans. I had the chance to pick his brain Monday in NOLA. We didn't have room for it, though. Today, we do. And so you get what I thought was a pretty fun interview. Chip Lindsey at 5:45, just what he plans to do with a program that, frankly, has been more well-documented as a defensive school. He's an offensive guy. My guess is somewhere in between the two shall meet. But, CD, that's future talk. Right now, let's dive into the Astros 4-2. They beat the Oakland A's live from Minute Maid. I think it's easy to start with Justin Verlander, but quickly we'd have to get to the top two guys in the lineup because both went yard. And both fairly early in this contest.
Exactly, and it's refreshing to see, you were talking about the two big guys, obviously Jose Altuve with a big two-run blast, as you heard during the two-minute drill. His performance has been impressive as of late. He's not necessarily going to wind up hitting for average like he had been throughout his early career, but the guy is starting to hit bombs, and you absolutely love to see Jose Altuve, the little man, do big things.
Stros get another victory, and they push the record to 65-38. A.J. Hinch and company now 27 games clear of 500 and a little more distance between themselves and the second-place team currently in the AL West. Oakland, 6.5 games back. Then you've got the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 11.5 games back. And so not bad at all. Houston getting a little more breathing room, and it's kind of a tough stretch. Clint, we talked about that. They spent that time out on the West Coast, two straight series. They had to deal with the travel where they got in at like 5:15 a.m. I think it was last Thursday morning. They got right back after it, played the Texas Rangers at home. So they got the Rangers, then the A's. Suddenly, the Astros have won 7 of their last 10 ball games. Hey, that is good news. And by the way, let me update that record. With the win today, they're now 66-38, so 28 games clear of 500. How the hell were you not the one to correct me there? Google tripped up your boy and gave me a reminder. Yeah. So they've got a series that starts not tomorrow, but on Thursday. Not tomorrow, it's Thursday, but on Friday. What day is it? Where am I? Who is this?
I've wondered the same things.
New radio show. Who dis? All right, so it's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals starting Friday from Busch, a three-game set, and then beginning, it looks like Tuesday, a three-game jog at the Cleveland Indians. So, again, you and I kind of called our shot before the All-Star break. We looked at how the schedule laid out, and you had a lot of teams that are all hovering around 500. St. Louis, third in the NL Central, trying to make a climb, looking up at the Cubbies and the Brewers. The Indians still looking up at the Twins, but here's the deal with Cleveland, CD. We know they have talent. We know when healthy, they've got a dynamite 1-2 punch at the head of their rotation. Cleveland is quickly going to become a very desperate squad because maybe unlike the NL, if you don't win your division, the wild card is going to be tough to find because of how good Tampa and I think Boston are going to become. Yeah. If you don't win your division, and you got to throw the Oakland A's into that mix as well, if you don't win your division in the AL, it's going to be tough sledding to find that wild card spot. And the Twins right now are just stifling people. I mean, a stranglehold on that AL Central. Cleveland's going to become very desperate, so that should be a fun set. In fact, both of these three-game series, nothing's must-win at this point. Like I just said, Astros have played 104 games. They're 20 games above sea level. But it'd be nice to see him take at least four out of those six.
Exactly, especially when you look at that St. Louis Cardinals series, because that is definitely, it's still a rivalry, not necessarily as heated as it was back when they were division foes, but still something that is marked on the calendar, and I absolutely love the fact when I saw that on the schedule at the beginning of the year, these two teams were going to face off, give it to me, and just put it, inject it into my veins, basically, Ben. That's what I want.
I get to correct myself yet again. I promise we prepped the show. Things are fluid with Major League Baseball. Cardinals last night moved up to second in the NL Central. They're six games clear of 500. But let's quickly give you a rundown what to expect. Stros will be off tomorrow. Woohoo! We'll start at 4. We'll end at 7. I'm telling you, man, when you can play football or any sport, it's great to know where the end line is, right? Where the out-of-bounds line is, where the landmarkers are. It's just nice to know when your show starts and stops.
Thank goodness LSU doesn't have like afternoon midweek games, because you know those games will be like 4 or 5 hours.
Are you not familiar with tournament basketball and tournament baseball?
Well, at least those are.
What are you new?
I'm not new to it, but I'm saying like for the most part, when you look at LSU baseball, these midweek games, those usually can go on for like 4 hours because of all the pitching changes.
Yeah,
the
George Osbury's on the line. They're going to play a football game at 5:38 p.m. on like Monday of next year. So they'll find a way to put a monkey wrench in it. But quickly, before we run out of real estate in our opening segment, Stros at the Cardinals, three-game set that begins Friday, 7:15 Central Time. Jose Urquidy versus Jack Flaherty in your opener. That's not exactly the way that you draw it up. But Garrett Cole, baby, going on Saturday. That is what you want against Daniel Ponce de Leon. And then in Sunday's 1:15 matinee, Wade Miley versus Dakota Hudson. Hudson's been dynamite for the Redbirds, 10-4 this season. Wade Miley, bit of a sore subject.
Yeah.
Stros fans, especially those in Houston and those on the Twitter machine, bent as I go full on Jim Rome. That Hinch left him in a little too long the other night.
Yeah, I think they're bent, and I think they have a definite axe to grind there. But you're talking about Urquidy. That guy actually didn't look half bad. I believe he last pitched on Sunday. He didn't look half bad after his initial debut where he just stunk up the joint, didn't get out the first inning. He looked a lot better in his second showing. So it'd be fun to see him get the start on Friday.
Yeah, we're going to let that breathe for a bit, though, because a certain Corbin Martin looked really good after taking on the Rangers on a Sunday. And now he's on a milk carton. I know he's injured, but it went off a cliff.
Real quick.
Real fast-like. And so I can't imagine the Stros come and go over the next 7 days without making a move. And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, there are no more secondary deadlines. There's just one day. And so you can't do what the Stros did a few years back with Justin Verlander. In fact, that may be considered the JV rule.
Yes.
July 31, that's it. That's all. You want to make a move. Clint, they've got to do it within the next 7 days. I think we're going to see something shake loose.
Exactly. I think you'll see something shake loose. And the guy that you're looking at most of all is without a doubt Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays. I think he's the guy that the Astros...
No Mad Bum, huh?
Oh, no. Mad Bum, I think they're keeping him. Like, they're just going to be like, you know, we're keeping him for the rest of the year. We're not trading him. From what I saw, I think I saw a notification pop up last night that said that to that extent where they're not going to trade him. I think Stroman is the guy that you're going to wind up looking at. I honestly like him a lot more than a Mad Bum. Just
Allison
saying.
Footer on the show last week reminded that there's one extra year of player control that you would have to inherit when you gobble up that deal for Marcus Stroman. So let's see if that is enticing considering some of the devils in the details. All right, Astros. We're calling your bluff. Thought we weren't ready for 45 minutes in the 4 o'clock hour? Hey, we got all hands on deck, and that includes some of the best sound from yesterday with Tommy Moffitt, LSU strength and conditioning director. Really was dynamite. So we're going to run back some of that. Strongest players on the team, relationship with Coach O, the O-line, the D-line, just where they stand. It is football season, my friends. And we're going to discuss it a lot more when we return. That plus that LSU basketball nugget that we didn't quite touch on yesterday. So you'll hear from Tommy Moffitt as we come down the stretch of our abbreviated 4 o'clock hour. And then in our 5 o'clock run, Sam Spiegelman, 5:15, Chip Lindsey, Troy Football at 5:45. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in to blow minds. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I think I wrote that liner 3 years ago. Still true in late 2019. Bumper to Bumper Sports back at it on 103.7 The Game. We'll open up the phone lines for the next, 40, maybe even 45 minutes. Hit us with your best, 706-0111. While we wait on that, and you, we're going to hit you with some of our best from yesterday. In the 5 o'clock hour on a Tuesday show, Tommy Moffitt of LSU football, good enough to drop in. And here's where they're at this time of year. They're just now finishing up, I mean, almost as we speak, in the last 24 hours, their summer weightlifting and conditioning program. The guys are going to get maybe a 9 to 10 day breather. They come back, and a week from Friday, August the 2nd, they report and they start to get after it. And so there really is a lot that you can glean this time of year from talking to a strength and conditioning director. And we did yesterday from Tommy Moffitt. Here was some of the best and the brightest. And let's start with the local product, because those that followed Northside football, those that followed Notre Dame of Acadia Parish, remember this young man well, one of Lafayette's finest. And if he can step up in the middle of the D-line in 2019, look out. Here's what Tommy Moffitt had to say on Tyler Shelvin.
Tyler's doing good. Tyler's, you know, he's continuing to slim up. Tyler, number one, Tyler's a phenomenal athlete. Phenomenal athlete. But, you know, he put on a bunch of weight, you know. But he's slimmed down a lot. Tyler's lost almost 50 pounds and has kept it off. He's doing great. He's so quick and so powerful. He's doing well. I tell you, it's going to be a tough competition between he and Apu. And they train together every day. They work out in the same group, and they push each other. And I watched them. They were running side by side today. And it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top. That's football, man. That's college football. And one day you're on top of the world. The next day, you're peeling yourself up off the bottom. But those two have worked very hard, and Tyler has done well this summer.
You know, what's interesting to me there, and I'm continuing to wait on a little more definition on this subject, but so much of the conversation in the last month, Ed Orgeron talking about the move maybe back to a four-man front. And sometimes you do things because it's a position of strength. Other times you do them to really camouflage a position where maybe not so much. Don't want to say weakness. Could just be a matter of numbers. And so there was a thought that maybe with the 40 front, you got an opportunity to see this would be a lot of beef, but maybe a little bit of Ika as well as Shelvin. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I just know that they know they've got some versatile defensive linemen, that they can put guys like Fajoko and Lawrence in a whole lot of different places, and they can excel. But the other reality is LSU has a lot of linebackers that I think are ready to play. I mean, what was it the other day, CD? And again, apologies, I don't have it off the cuff, but I think LSU maybe had four linebackers that are at least on the watch list for the Butkus Award.
Yeah, four of them all on the watch list. And it's impressive to
That's
see.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. Considering the fact that you've only had one ever win the Dick Butkus Award when it comes to that aspect of the game, and it's just amazing to see.
That must have been years ago. When did that happen?
Last year.
Okay.
With Devin White.
Yeah, that guy.
I remember.
Yeah. He's still out there living his best life, but as we kind of go stream of consciousness here, I promise you we will. Get back shortly to Tommy Moffitt. Pretty sad news. Came out yesterday that Daisy May, Devin White's horse, no longer with us.
Yeah.
So he's living his best life as a early first-round draft pick, but that's something that can never be easy, as close as that man was with that animal.
Exactly. But, I mean, he wound up having a great moment with Daisy May right around Tiger Stadium. How many horses can say that? That's just something really cool that he can wind up just remembering forever,
I'm going to submit that Mr. Ed would be the only one that might be able to say it.
And we're not talking about Ed Orgeron, right?
No, not that Ed at all. But that horse talks, so yes. The rest can't. So they wouldn't say it, but they might be able to think it.
Exactly.
Let's get back to Tommy Moffitt. All right, so I asked him in particular what his lines were looking like. Offensive, defensive fronts, and this builds a little bit on the conversation with Tyler Shelvin. Here's what Moffitt had to say. This is cut two, amigo.
Braden Fajoko, because we just finished up today. Braden Fajoko hit 500 today in the bench press, which is huge. Because, he had that injury last year at the end of the season where he had to have surgery. So Braden hit 500. That was huge. We had, if I'm not mistaken, we had 23 guys bench 405 or better. I just watched Cardale Thomas. I think Cardale did 455 or 460. I just saw that, Cardale. Cardale's lost a lot of weight. He weighed in at 339, I think, today. So that's really good. He smashed his conditioning test. We had two guys clean 374. We had really good testing. Our power clean average is still just a few pounds. It didn't go up over last year, but we had more heavier power cleans than in the past. I think we had 43 guys over 308 pounds. So it went great, man. We're really excited about where we are right now with strength. But the offensive and defensive line is strong, is really strong.
And now maybe as much as you can put a question on a tee, Ruffin and I hit him. Coach, you ready for camp?
And I'm looking forward to camp. The key now is that these guys continue to work because they got some time off. We start practice on the 2nd, and today it looks like, what's today, the 23rd. So they got a few days. They got, 9 days off, 10 days off? They need it for rest, but they need to continue to do some running. They need to get outside in the sun. and continue the acclimatization process because it's going to be hot, you know. But it's been a great summer. I feel good about it.
Clint, have you been working on your acclimatization process?
No, I haven't. I think I should, considering how weird this weather is right now in mid-July and late July, where it's actually like 60, 70 degrees right now.
Don't even remotely want to hear it from you. I did 2 hours and 35 minutes from a 58-degree climate-controlled wine cellar yesterday. Maybe we should talk about that. You know what? I got a segment in the 5 o'clock hour that I'm going to stow away perfectly for that situation. But I got to tell you, it was one of the most entertaining shows that I've ever done. And at the same time, just odd. It was like being on display, like an animal in a cage. Seriously, because you can't, it's not quite soundproof, but it's close.
It was pretty darn close.
I mean, I'm sure you couldn't hear any of the party or the DJ in the background,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because that was one of the things like you and I talked about off air was the potential of having a DJ playing in the background. Thankfully, none of that really went over the air. It actually was really nice.
I was in a near soundproof, climate-controlled wine cellar, my friend. So, God, it was a lot of fun. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. I would just bring a parka. I might take some of the people up that were offering hand warmers. But we had fun yesterday. And Tommy Moffitt, especially with some of the ways he reacted to Ruffin's questions, I enjoyed that. In fact, let's get to that right now, because right out of the chute, Ruffin asked about the relationship with former players and how much those guys just come and bear hug him and hug his neck when they're walking down the hill for games. So here's what Moffitt had to say about what that moment means to him.
You know, we've been blessed with a lot of really good guys, man. And, you know, although we work very hard and I'm tough, and, you know, there's a lot of love, you know, between us, and it's tough love, and they know I care a great deal about them, and I would do anything I could possibly do to try to help them. And I think that's what makes or has made this program so special through the years, is because of all the things, you know, that the guys learn, not just from me, but from all of our staff. And it's, you know, it's those lessons that last far beyond football. In fact, a guy called me. I don't know if y'all remember. Jonathan Rucker. Jonathan played at Ponchatoula High School. He walked on, was great for us on the kickoff team. Jonathan has done really well with a charity that he runs in Ponchatoula now for the needy and young men and women, and he called me today. I haven't gotten a chance to call him back, but he's coming by tomorrow. And that's what's so neat, man. The guys call me up and say, hey, Coach, I'm passing through town. Got my wife and kids. I want to come by. And that makes it all the better, man, because, you know, football is only a small part of our lives. It's a major part of our lives, but it's a small part, and it's great that the relationships last after the guys leave here. And, it's a special part about my job.
Yeah, he's got a great job, but he is elite at it. And that's why the Board of Supervisors recently approved a raise. All right, let's get our first caller of the day. We'll get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Frank, we're talking bench maxes there. I think we just choked about 470 or so, maybe 480 out of Cordell Thomas. You're pushing that, or thereabouts, right?
Yeah, as long as I can do it like 300 times.
it's a cumulative award.
Actually, I called yesterday. I love the interview, dude, especially the last two you did. I think you had a young man, free safety. I cannot remember his name.
A young man as a free safety.
Yeah, it was a couple days ago, maybe.
I'm so sorry. No, yeah, we're talking about, yes, we're talking about the two Cajuns that were there. That's Deuce Wallace out of St. Thomas More
Deuce
High
Wallace.
School. Deuce and Bam were two of, and I really mean this, Frank, I'm not a prisoner of the moment. Those were two of the best interviews I've had with student athletes, high school or college, in a long time. Both were polished, ready to roll, and fun.
And, dude, he was on. He was on point. I loved his answers. I loved the interview. I thought it was fantastic. The other thing, jumping back to LSU, there's a lot of butthurt people across I guess you could say college football, about LSU. Look, this was private funding, okay? If you're getting butthurt about private funding, what does that say about your college? What does that say about the athletes that you produce? These are hometown kids. I mean, these boys bleed purple and gold. If you get butthurt about them donating, what was it, $28 million to fund a super center for these athletes to enjoy, that's your problem. Well,
Frank, here's the bigger rub as I see it. It's not the people outside of the bubble. It's the infighting, right? And to me, that's the biggest issue is there are people who bleed purple and gold, and they think that this has a really tangible impact on the academic fundraising ability. And so that to me is, I'm just going to be frank. I'll call it like I see it too, Frank, as I talk to him. That's the most embarrassing part are the people who claim to be LSU who are saying this is disgusting.
But let's go back to James Caan. And he had the most famous line in the movie The Program. 82,000 people do not show up to watch a kid take a chemistry exam.
Ding, ding, ding.
These are athletes. They're future studs in the NFL. If they want to contribute to their college, so be it.
No, I'm right there with you. And Ruffin spoke at length on that subject yesterday. Frank, it's great to hear from you. And I'm glad you brought back up the Deuce Wallace interview. I'm telling you, both of those young men were outstanding. Thanks for remembering that.
Hey, that was too easy, Ben.
It's easy money. And Clint, as we head into a break, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. No, you can put the mic down. Won't involve talking. Not at this moment, at least. A potential correction for you, but I think my mind is sharp on this one. Let's head into a break with this potential fact from yours truly. You'll tell me if I'm injecting a little fiction into it. Frank gave a great quote from the movie The Program. 82,000 people didn't come to see a chemistry experiment or a chemistry test. If memory serves, the first football coach in the history of the LSU program, last name Coates, I want to say Henry Coates, but don't hold me to that, but Coates was actually a chemistry professor at then LSU A&M. We're going to hit a break. You're going to tell me if I'm right or wrong on the other side. But yes, people may not come to watch a chemistry experiment, but apparently, you know, way back in the gap, they used to watch a chemistry professor coach a football team. Let's see if I'm right or wrong there. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Facts only, at least most of the time, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Ben Love for Relief Windows, your go-to resource for windows, doors, and siding in Acadiana.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
I love it when the bad company plays. This is kind of like the private stock. Ruffin and I spoke on that yesterday. I'll explain what I mean. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in, taking you home on 103.7 The Game. Do not forget, I'm excited about our guest list in the 5 o'clock hour. Sam Spiegelman talking Cruton at 5:15. Chip Lindsey, first-time head coach in college football. He's leading the Troy Trojans. He'll be with us at 5:45. So, Clint, let's do a few things. Before I get to the private stock conversation, how would you grade my potential fact out on LSU football earlier?
Oh, I'd grade it an A++ there, my man.
From what you told me, maybe like a 97. I don't know if it's an A+.
I'm giving it to you.
I tossed out a Henry Coates. Maybe that's Charles' cousin.
Yeah.
But Charles Coates, the first ever LSU football coach, was in fact a chemistry professor.
Yep.
And you looked at me and said, of course you know that because you were the editor of Tiger Egg magazine.
And you probably got just so much access to like the archives, and I'm sure you just have that like somewhere.
What do you think? It's like the Temple of Doom, dude? I mean, do you think there's like this huge vault that I get to go into and
yeah,
they just lay all their secrets just bare?
I mean, that's where all the top men go to.
Sam Nader just lures you into a room and says, take whatever file you need, and that's, trust me, that's not how it works.
Top men, you know?
No. No, not even a little bit. I just knew that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to come off the top rope there. Frank said nobody's coming to watch 82,000 people take a chemistry test.
Yep.
Well, they might if he's also the head coach of the football team. But don't hold your breath for that to happen anytime in the near or extended future. We got time for your phone calls at 706-0111. Good talking with Frank earlier. We can make room for you now. So when I said private stock, I've kind of, people who listen to the show long enough know that I've ridden you over the months and years.
Yeah.
When you share my music with the Jordy Holtberg show.
Yeah.
Don't fake that funk from 2 to 4 p.m.
Oh, man.
Jordy can give you his own damn playlist. So I hit you with gold, and then I drive around at like 2:43 p.m., and I'm like, man, that's a dope track coming out of the Jordy Holtberg show right there. Oh, wait a minute.
I forgot. This is part of my show.
You know, you guys could do something else between 2 and 4 p.m. Jordy grew up and played basketball during arguably the greatest music period of all time. I promise you the JHS can benefit from music that JH himself selects. He won't have to go far to find it.
Nope.
All this stuff that I'm, you know, throwing your way, I wasn't alive when it was made. Jordy was. Now, that's not an ageist dig there, but the dude was probably actually getting down and partying while this music was, you know, hitting the top 40 and whatnot.
Exactly.
Mine was just in an iPod and, you know, then
this
on
was
an
when
iPhone
it was considered
and,
classic rock.
Oh, don't make everybody listening of a certain age.
Yeah, throw up a little.
Feel a little bit older.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, Clint. So we'll do what we can. All right, one thing I do know is this. Let's get in one more soundbite from Tommy Moffitt. I wanted to play this one, so we will. Ruffin asked him about his relationship with Coach O, and really it was kind of more of a statement. As Ruffin told him, hey, you got to have a coach and coaches that gel with a strength coordinator. That is certainly happening at LSU.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he does. That's the very best thing about Coach O is that he listens. And he doesn't always do what we ask of him, you know. But we always sit down, we talk about it. And he's got the experience from working in the weight room. And Coach O has been phenomenal to work for because he always listens. And he asks our opinions, you know. He's always asking me, you know, about how the team's doing, what I think we need to do. And he's been phenomenal to work for because of that reason, because a lot of head coaches don't listen.
It's been a lot of fun so far this week, and we're not done with the great interviews. And Frank is right. That Cajun representation on our program Monday, phenomenal. I mean, the interviews live in person from Billy Napier, from Bam Jackson, from Deuce Wallace, really, really good. I'm going to tell you, too, that even though it was abbreviated, they tried to cut the darn internet out on us over the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, that Matt Viator was a lot of fun as well from ULM. You couple that with the new commissioner of the Sun Belt yesterday, Ricky Blanton, Tommy Moffitt. We've been on a roll, and we do not plan to stop. However, I will have to stop momentarily because it's the end of the 4 o'clock hour. Before we get there, CD, how about one final word?
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Relief. Yeah, we came in today after the Stros beat the A's 4-2. Roberto Asuna in relief with the save. That's the way that you draw it up. Will Harris with a quality inning of work. They look good in relief. But I still think that starting rotation needs a little bit of that R word as well. CD says Marcus Stroman is the first choice. We'll see if they get some relief for the starters. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in. More Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Grove, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of two. underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you on 103.7 The Game. And the interviews will come at you fast and furious throughout this hour. Sam Spiegelman, Rivals.com, talking Cruton, Jaqueline Roy, Coy Moore, the best from Texas, and who LSU's coming after in 2020. That plus Billy Napier's efforts in the Lone Star State. We'll have Sam in about 11 or 12 minutes. Make sure you're buckled in for that. And then Chip Lindsey, first-year head coach of the Troy football Trojans at 5:45. Don't forget, when Clint and I go find that first beer of the evening, okay, me, not Clint, he doesn't drink, you'll have Five Guys Stories and Lies, 6 until 8 p.m. on Acadiana Sports Station. I did omit a topic yesterday, CD, that I want to get to, and we'll do it right now. A year ago, LSU had a very heralded basketball recruiting class, and yet LSU was not invited to play in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. That has been rectified this year, and kind of like the Tournament Selection Committee, which we know always has a sense of humor, so did these two conferences. LSU and Texas will play this year. Yes, that means Will Wade versus Shaka Smart. Pupil versus the teacher. And a couple of really good programs squaring off. And even though Jackson Hayes, current New Orleans Pelican, is no longer with the Longhorns, they've got an awfully good program. This is a good indication of the type of, I guess, star power and luster that LSU basketball has these days. I understand there are some things on the back end that maybe are a little more disconcerting, but I'll try to leave the subtext out. This is not bad, though. LSU, Texas, they're already playing second week of September on the gridiron. Now we get them on the hardwood. It's a good sign of things to come for, I guess, the perception, at least, of LSU basketball.
Exactly. It's a huge step in the right direction. They're also playing in baseball. Don't forget about that, the Shriners College Classic on February 28th. So
good looking out.
All three of the, I don't know about softball. I haven't seen the 2020 schedule. But for the most part, LSU, Texas is going to be covered on all fronts.
What's LSU golf doing?
I don't know.
Go get you some burnt orange. Certainly Danny Jones could hook that up if any man can.
Yes.
Our guy Danny Jones certainly could pull that off. All right, our phone lines will be wide open for the rest of this segment. And you want to get a call in, you better hurry. As I just told you, we got some great guests coming up rest of this hour. Call us, 706-0111. Speaking of wide open, we got a call at the end of the 4 o'clock hour. Frank, double dipping like George Costanza. He already hit the program once. He said, I got a question to tee up for hour number two. Frank's question is, Michael Thomas worth $20 million? So there's your tie into the whole wide open thing. But let me explain. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, reporting that about $18 to $19 million a year is what's on the table. From the Saints, Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland and company toured Michael Thomas. But that Thomas, his representation, they're eyeing $20 million. And that Thomas's camp wants the right structure. They want the right guarantees. But this is awfully close, isn't it? I think at one point it was either 18 on the team side and then 22 on number 13 side. And they're trying to meet in the middle at 20. And come on, guys, you know how real estate works, right? When you're about to buy a house, by and large, my experience has been when you get within 10%, by God, a deal gets done. Come on. You're within 10%. He wants 20. You're offered 18. Figure this darn thing out. But the question for Frank, I'll repeat, is Michael Thomas worth $20 million? My take, my answer, yes. Are you going to let this thing not get done? And here's the thing. There's not urgency to it, per se. He's got one more year left on that rookie deal. But get this thing done. Secure the future, let him secure the bag, and feel not good but great at that position in life after Drew Brees. Because that's what this is about. You'll have Michael Thomas for the duration of number 9's time with Who Dat Nation. You need Michael Thomas for when Brees retires. Could happen after this year. Could be maybe 3 more years down the road. I think it's somewhere in that window, it's safe to say. And while Brees is making Thomas better, and there's no question about it, I feel 100% confident that Michael Thomas will be a stud in life after Drew Brees. Kind of like Jimmy Graham proved that maybe he wasn't. That's not pre-shade. That's just fact. So my answer to Frank's question is yes, I think that Michael Thomas is worth the 20 mil.
And I have to agree, definitely, he is worth that $20 million because of what he's been able to do over the last couple seasons, especially we talk about all the time, those first four games when you didn't have Mark Ingram in the lineup, you had him kind of carry the workload, a lot of touches throughout those first like four or five games of the season. Sure, he was still able to carry the workload, but the guy was just so consistent all season long, well over 100 receptions. I feel like this guy is more than worth $20 million. And again, this is all kind of coming with the news about Julio Jones likely going to wind up probably signing a big deal in the next few days, and then that'll probably happen hot off the heels to try and one-up who is perceived as the best wide receiver in the game.
So here's what I'll say, Clint, to follow up on that. A lot of times what is measured or what is ranked are the guys that run the best route at that position, the guys that have the best hands. And I don't necessarily think that Michael Thomas is the tops in the league at either of those. He may not even be top three or five in the league at route running. And what I'm about to say I know kind of folds into route running, but let me tell you what Michael Thomas is the best in the league at already, and it's scary because of how young he is. No receiver in the league gets better body positioning, right? No receiver gets himself between the DB and the flight of the ball better than number 13 in the black and gold. I'm serious. Not Antonio Brown, not Julio, none of these cats. Michael Thomas off the line of scrimmage is a work of art. The release, the strong hands, and the way that he gets his separation at first. And so I'm not going to tell you he's the best route runner in the league because I don't think that he is. But his body positioning is sublime. The other thing that he ranks in the top two or three in the league for my money at that position, maybe not best hands in the league, although he's way up there, strongest hands in the league. That's why that guy's going to translate in life after Drew Brees. So, yeah, I locked that down, and I don't think twice about it. All right, Clint's playing the music. That means we need to head into a quick recess. When we return, Sam Spiegelman. A lot of Cruton talk coming your way. The best from Louisiana and Texas. He watches them all, and he's going to tell you all about it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Raymond Parsons.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football. On 103.7 The Game.
Back in more of your 5 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love along with the famous Clint D. And a guy that's even more famous awaits. He spends his time these days between Texas and Louisiana. We'll figure out where he is right now. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, our friend Sam Spiegelman, Texas and Louisiana recruiting analyst for Rivals.com. Sam, how are you and where are you today?
I'm doing great. I am, I guess, 3 days into my staycation, and I am loving it, loving life right now.
Can't believe we pried you free on the staycation. We're not going to tell the old lady. We're just going to put our heads down and power through this. All right, give our listeners a feel for your expectations, Sam. This Friday, Jaqueline Roy going to make his announcement for a commitment. The consensus seems to be LSU. I'll get your 2 cents and what it would mean.
Yeah, you know, Jaqueline was an early LSU commitment. He committed just a few days after LSU's comeback victory at Auburn last year. You know, Coach O goes on the phone every Sunday night with all the top guys, and at this point he was a 2020 in the middle of 2019 cycle. And Jaqueline was that high on the board back then, and he continues to be the top defensive tackle on LSU's board in 2020. But he backed off that pledge at the start of the spring. You know, LSU doesn't like, they don't mind that you visit other schools, but if you do so, they prefer that you don't do other SEC schools. And when you're Jaqueline Roy, I think he's our number four defensive tackle, about to get another bump in the Rivals rankings, and you're from Baton Rouge, schools are going to come knocking. So Pete Golding from Alabama, Coach Thibodeau from A&M were among the coaches who just wanted to get Roy on campus. He didn't want to be disloyal to LSU, so he backed off his pledge. And I think A&M for a while had a lot of momentum. I think schools like Tennessee and Ole Miss were actually in this for a while. And one thing he said a month ago was that he really wanted to visit Alabama before he made any decision. So there was plenty of reason to believe that a lot of these other SEC schools were in it. But there was a point in June where he made visits to LSU 4 or 5 days in a row. Feels very comfortable there. So when he's ready to make his announcement on Friday, I fully expect him to wind up back at LSU. Anything else would be surprising. But it's just a matter of making him a priority for as long as they have been and the opportunities that are available to him close to home in Baton Rouge.
All right, Sam. I think you just made a lot of people pretty happy. It's what they've been expecting, but still you don't really, I guess, count eggs like that until they hatch. Let me ask you next. You're spending a lot of time these days over in the Lone Star State. Who are some of the top LSU targets from the state of Texas in the class of 2020? Guys that maybe are already committed, guys that they want to get committed. Who would you put in that grouping?
You know, what's interesting, Ben, is about a month ago, if you would ask me this question, I think my list would be double digits, you know, 15 or so people. But this summer has been off the charts, unprecedented amount of commitments in June and July, more than I can ever recall as long as I've covered recruiting. And I don't know if it's a matter of the early signing period, because that's been around now for a few years, or, you know, just the idea that kids are kind of, they get sick of the process because they go through it sometimes since their eighth grade, ninth grade years. Maybe they just get done. They want to put a knot on it. With that in mind, these kids I'm going to give you dwindle down severely. The biggest fish that LSU is after in Texas is Zach Evans. LSU offered this kid going into his ninth grade year at North Shore High School. That's obviously the alma mater of Caleb on Chason, Eric Monroe. They're trying to get the five-star running back there. There's been some speculation he might be making a visit sometime this week when the dead period's over this weekend. So that's something to keep an eye out for. And they need a running back in this class. One name I've heard to keep an eye on is Jace McClellan. He's a borderline five-star out of Aledo in Texas. He's been committed to Oklahoma for 2 or 3 years already. But, you know, I think the LSU staff is in need of that workhorse back. They're only probably going to take one in 2020. McClellan is someone they're going to try to get on campus at some point. Up front, offensive tackle is also a major need for LSU for one of their final spots. Chad Lindbergh from the Houston area is someone that officially visited a month ago. Texas was the presumed favorite for a good chunk of time. But they're loading up on offensive linemen. They just got a really high three-star from Dallas to commit this morning. Maybe taking that commitment might be foreshadowing that LSU and Georgia are in the mix for Lindbergh a little bit more than we thought. I know LSU would love Lindbergh. And then two safeties I'll give you, Xavien Alford and Jaron Thompson, one from the Houston area, one from East Texas. Alford was really flirting with Alabama for a while, but he's slowly fading. On that front, and I know that LSU has missed on a few safety targets here and there. They could really up their push for Alford this fall. And Jaron Thompson is someone that I know Bill Bush really liked during the spring evaluation period. He was battling a few injuries when camp season came around. So LSU, as I said, they're looking for another safety or two in this class. They could revisit things with Thompson over the next couple of weeks.
He is Sam Spiegelman, part of the Rivals Network. You need to follow his recruiting analysis, not just for the kids that might end up at LSU, but out of this fair state as well as in Texas. And, Sam, you know, it's interesting. I'm not sure if you caught the, the gust of these wins, but we spent a good part of Monday with Billy Napier at the Sunbelt Media Day. The Raging Cajuns obviously were there. I know he caught a flight from New Orleans, went right over to Houston, and talked to a bunch of high school football coaches. So the Raging Cajuns certainly trying to grow their footprint in your state as well in Texas.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you notice when you dip into Texas is, you know, who are the first schools to offer a lot of these kids? And UL is amongst the first. You have UL and Arkansas. And to be completely honest, UL is fighting with schools like Arkansas, like Tulane, like Mississippi State for a lot of this same talent pool.
Wow.
You know, LSU and UL are not usually going after the same kids, but these lower-tier SEC schools, I mean, the talent in Texas and parts of Louisiana is out of control. I have seen the widest range of talent over the last couple of months on this job. And UL, they find really good high school football players. Now, their measurables might not be off the charts. They might not be running backs that run 4.4 at 6 6 foot, 215 pounds, but they are finding really good high school football players on squads in Louisiana, and there's a lot more. I like to think of Texas as just triple Louisiana. That's the amount of talented prospects that I currently view it as. And UL has a bigger pool to pick from. It's not that far from East Texas or East Houston, and they're in there early on. And like you said, Coach Napier is talking to high school coaches. He's got his foot in the ground. Napier is doing tremendous things for UL. And the landscape in college football in Louisiana right now has to be at its peak. With Kojo running LSU into, you know, potential SEC champion, potential playoff team, Coach Fritz is on the rise at Tulane. Coach Napier is probably one of the hottest coaches in the entire country, the way he's recruiting at UL. And Louisiana Tech is a stalwart. I mean, the way that those four schools are standing out right now has to be the highest since I've ever covered Louisiana recruiting.
Our guy Ruffin Rodrigue echoed that yesterday, so it's great to hear Sam Spiegelman say it today on B2BS. All right, a couple more for you, amigo. Coy Moore out of the New Orleans area. His quarterback last year, speaking to UL, Chandler Fields, will be in Lafayette. Does Moore end up at LSU, and what's the rest of that recruiting process look like?
You know, I think the big thing with him at LSU was getting him on campus, the camp there last month, and he had a private workout with Mickey Joseph and Joe Brady, new passing game coordinator, and they're looking for a slot receiver for this offense, right? This is the Saints offense, and Michael Thomas was their slot receiver last year. We know how valuable the slot is to LSU now moving forward. Coy he's one of the more interesting prospects. He's someone I've known going into his ninth grade year when he was at Jesuit at the time. He is the best route runner in the state and maybe the entire country. He's not, you know, as he's not a 10 out of 10 in every other department, hands, speed, but he can separate from defensive backs better than anyone else in the country, I believe. And that's with 4.5, 4.6 speed. LSU loves him. He's an in-state kid, so you know that he's a priority. And he's eyeing a commitment sometime in the next couple of months. He doesn't want to play this thing out till signing day. But he continues to bring up Florida. He continues to bring up Oregon, Arizona State. Those are schools that are all in it. He's supposed to be at Friday Night Lights this weekend. We have to see if he makes the trip over to Gainesville, the school that he kind of identified as a dream school growing up. He's a little bit different than most New Orleans kids who would say the same about LSU. And he's going to take an official visit to Oregon at the end of the month. So if he can get on campus at Florida, you know, compare and contrast, go to Oregon. They've been pushing for a long time to get him on campus out there. And then I think that he's going to start trying to check some boxes and find out where he can be his best self, you know, where he can fit in best and have the best college career between those three or four schools.
Great update. All right, we need a little more education. Sam, before we let you go, LSU fans that don't have a full grasp yet on who John DeCoster is, let them know, because this guy on the recruiting trail is becoming a dynamo for the 2020 cycle.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, LSU fans are super excited for their new four-star tight end out of Colorado, but this has been a process in the making for a couple of years. Okay, so John DeCoster is a Florida guy. He's a young coach on the up and coming, you know, you call him. He signed with UL, you know, 10, 15 years ago at this point, and he's stayed in Louisiana ever since. And he jumped on the LSU coaching staff in 2017 when Coach O took over, and he was the grad assistant for Steve Ensinger. He was in that role in 2018 when Matt Canada was the offensive coordinator, and he was a big reason why LSU was in the mix for the number one tight end in the country back then, Luke Ford, who signed with Georgia and eventually transferred to Illinois. But DeCoster played a critical role in getting guys like Luke Ford on campus during LSU camp that summer. A year ago, LSU was in the mix with some more high-caliber tight ends. You had Keon Zipper, who was making official visits in January. He wound up in Florida. They were in the mix with the Georgia three-star Garmin Randolph, but instead they got Ray Parker in the mix late. Charles Turner was going to start his career in a tight end role before maybe switching over to tackle or center. And in 2020, you kind of see the fruit of all that labor paying off with Cole Taylor out of Colorado. So DeCoster has had LSU in the mix, whether people realize it or not. LSU has been one of those major contenders for these top tight ends nationwide because of him. He's a fantastic recruiter. He knows a ton about the position. Cole Taylor is the first, and now they're in an offense, obviously, like we said, with Coy Moore in the slot. the Saints take advantage of their tight ends down the seam in the red zone. The best tight end to come out of LSU in recent memory is Foster Moreau, who just hopped on with the Raiders. And, you know, Foster was a fantastic blocker, not as much known for his passing, his role in the passing game. But if they can get a Stephon Sullivan involved, can they get a Ray Parker involved, a Jamal Pettigrew involved, that's only going to give DeCoster more fuel to go out and recruit the top tight ends in the country, which in Joe Brady's offense with Steve Ensminger, you kind of expect that it's going to happen eventually as soon as they have the right pieces in place personnel-wise.
Sam, always fun to catch up. The fact that you did this during a staycation, I owe you. Let's just put it that way. You come down to Louisiana, a lot of people have your back. Add me to that list. But thank you for doing this.
Anytime, Ben.
That is Sam Spiegelman. Dynamite stuff, wasn't it? You need to keep up with him. If you're not, it's the Rivals Network. It's part of what Yahoo.com is bringing to the table. And on the other side, we're going to bring a little shade to the table. Plus, an interview to finish the show today with Chip Lindsey, new head coach of the Troy Trojans. Cajuns fans, you don't want to miss it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back at it, and this is just the way I like it. We are sandwiched in between tremendous interviews. Got to tip the cap to Sam Spiegelman. Do not forget, at 5:45, or thereabouts, you're going to hear from the newest head coach in the Sun Belt, one of them at least, high-profile guy Chip Lindsey of the Troy Trojans. But for now, we're ready to throw some shade. And that means you're listening to Bumper Sports right back in on a hump day on 103.7 The Game. Clint, I look forward to doing this every single day. Today is no exception, and momentarily, I get to explain why. And for me, that's always a lot of fun. But let me issue first your daily reminder, and it's a PSA locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Make sure you visit their website first, patiocenter.com. You'll fall in love with the retractable shades and screens, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and the standing seam metal awnings. Know that you can also trust their professional installers inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. And I spoke with Mark over at Patio Center earlier today. They have been having a fantastic summer, helping so many people, mostly in Acadiana, but they're doing jobs really in a lot of the I-10 corridor throughout South Louisiana. They're ready to continue helping you to up your patio game. Again, I'll encourage you, visit their website first, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
I got to tell you, we have fun doing this segment just about every single day, except sometimes people deserve our wrath, and yeah, then we'll put down the hammer of Thor on them. But the reality is this. Yesterday, I signed on, free of my own will, right? Not coerced. My arm is not twisted by anyone. I signed on to do a 2.5 hour, frankly, 2 hour, 35 minute show from a wine cellar, which is badass. And you'll never hear me complain about that. Nor am I complaining about the following. I'm just stating facts. The wine cellar part was tremendous. The 58 degrees part without leaving the room, that was slightly less than tremendous. And if ever you wondered if hypothermia was a real thing, okay, I didn't get wet while it was in there. But I guess I would say this. If ever you have tested the limits of how cold that your body can get and stay, you probably know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going to completely go the whiners and whimperer route on you here. Because, no, I was not in snow. No, I did not get wet. And no, I was not in, you know, like actual freezing temps. But I really didn't don my sports jacket the whole show, when I probably should have. So shade goes at me for that. But I just absolutely froze my ass off. It's probably the best way to put it. And I watched Ruffin, and for the better part of the show, dude didn't don a coat either. Both of us had them, both of us were apparently trying to be tough guys, and so we sat there, and to say that it was brisk, yeah, that may be an understatement, right? So it wasn't freezing, it wasn't snow, but your mind, I feel like ghetto boys here, your mind starts to play tricks on you. That's the only way I could put it. When you put yourself in that environment, and you don't leave it for about 2.5 straight hours. And when I looked over at Ruff, and I saw this guy, I mean, he told you on the show yesterday that he's currently benching 440 freaking pounds. So, yeah, more shade at me because I'm like, I don't know, just a shade over half that. But I watched this guy, and he's got like boa constrictors coming out of his polo shirt. And so, yeah, he wasn't sweating as much about the cold. Of course, neither of us were sweating, but you catch my drift here. Still, I don't mind telling you that mentally that started to get to me a little toward the end. And as I was starting to interview some of the people, latter portion of our show, we had a great, nice lady that came in from the Healing House to talk, and I was absolutely sitting there, and there was only one thing on my mind, aside from sliding into my first drink post-show. What in the actual bleep am I doing in a place that's trying to basically freeze me out? And so I think one time in an NBA All-Star game back in the Gap, Isaiah Thomas and company did that to Michael Jordan. But now yours truly knows what it feels like to be frozen out. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's all the shade I've got for today. But trust me, after the temps yesterday, I'm trying to stay out of the shade. Everybody else is enjoying the temps outdoors in Lafayette. Yeah, go put a jersey on and then hang out in a wine cellar, 58 degrees for 2.5 hours. Then we'll have a talk, you and I.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
It's the only way that I know how to operate. Had to make sure to share that with you in case you care. The reality is you probably don't, and that's just fine. We've been rolling since the end of the postgame show. Astros 4-2 winners over the Oakland A's. Justin Verlander, 11 Ks. He moves to 13-4 on the season. And the Strohs continue to do Strohs thing. All right, on the other side, we're ready to wrap up, which is appropriate because we'll have a football coach on. Blocking and tackling, people. Got to make these puns where you can. And looking to have some fun with a guy who's led some pretty high-powered offenses in recent years, Chip Lindsey, first-year head coach of the Troy Trojans. I learned a lot in the conversation. Some things I had a little bit of a purview into, most, frankly, I did not. And so you'll learn about his connections with Billy Napier, where they've had intersections in their coaching careers, a little bit of his history. Even with the Troy football program, he is not a complete newbie to one of the powers in the Eastern Division from the SBC. Trust me, you're going to enjoy this one. And then Five Guys Stories and Lies, when I'm done and Clint's done, and we've had our words in at 6 p.m. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in. Continuing to take you home, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
What dog days of summer! Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love will get you through it all with the latest concerning your favorite teams on the field and on the recruiting trail. Now, back to the show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Back in for the final time, and Cajuns fans about to get the lowdown on one of the chief opponents, not just for UL, but the entire Sun Belt in this 2019 season. Hang with me. Trust me, I'll explain. You'll hear from the head coach of this school and a lot more. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, one more time, with some feeling on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, and this message is for all men, 18 and over. There really is a tremendous local event coming to Lafayette Saturday, August the 10th. It's the 7th Biennial Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference, and it is coming to Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church. It's an event for men of all faith and that want to attend for all reasons. Here's the reality, though. It's an invitation to heal. A delicious jambalaya lunch will be served, and you'll enjoy keynote speaker Father Donald Calloway. So make your plans right now before we all go in a million directions with school starting, with football season. It's time to huddle up within yourself, men, and regroup at the 2019 Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference.
So register today before the event sells out. The website is m2m2019.com. That's m2m2019.com. Tickets are still available to the 2019 Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference at Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church, Saturday, August the 10th. Men in Acadiana, you've officially been invited. You'll be glad that you came. Again, the website to register, m2m2019.com. All right, I told you it's time to learn a lot more about a new head coach at a traditional power in the Gulf South and in the Sun Belt Conference. The Troy Trojans, probably a little more known for defense than offense, but Chip Lindsey has come in, and he's got fans in the Yellowhammer State thinking a little bit more about the other side of the football. Lindsey has been at Auburn, at Kansas. He has been in a lot of places, Arizona State, where they play some pretty high-tempo and up-tempo offense. Trust me when I tell you, you don't want to miss this interview. Time to learn more about the new direction of the Troy Trojans. Time to catch up with the first-year head coach of the Troy Trojans, Chip Lindsey, our guest. The Cajuns will be at Troy, Cajuns will be hosting Troy on November the 23rd. Coach, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right, give me the emotions. For you, the family, everybody, you were named the head coach on January 10th, first time in this chair. What was it like getting the job and, I guess, in the month since?
Oh, it's been great. It's been a real exciting time the last 6 months, kind of achieving a dream of being the head coach, and especially in your home state, a place like Troy, and growing up in that state, being real familiar with the history and the traditions of the program, made it just a really good fit, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's been a whirlwind a little bit, but finally things are settling down and getting close to the season, which is always exciting.
Well, let's spend a little bit of time there. The history of this Trojans program, certainly one of the strongest inside of the Sun Belt. How would you describe it over the years?
Yeah, I mean, going way back, Coach Larry Blakeney, obviously, if you did a Mount Rushmore of our university, it'd be our chancellor and then Larry Blakeney probably, you know. So he brought us from Division II, 1AA, all the way into Division I and was successful at every stop. And then, obviously, Neil came in and continued that success. And, now we're just trying to continue building on the foundation that's there. We got a lot of good things going on at Troy right now with new facilities and so forth. So it's an exciting time.
10-3 last year, the Trojans 7-1 in Sun Belt play and beat Buffalo in the Dollar General Bowl. It's a season that also included a win over Nebraska. Some of the highlights, and I'm curious, how much did you and your staff go back and look at, I guess, those games to figure out a little bit of what you had?
Well, yeah, definitely watched all the games, and pretty familiar with the team, obviously, being close by and working at other places and recruiting against, those guys, especially when I was at Southern Miss. But I think we're very familiar, but still, until you get on the field, you don't really know your team. And I think that was the thing that was exciting in January, was getting there and getting our players involved with our coaches, dinners and different things, and then getting on the field with them in the spring and trying to figure out what this team's going to be about. Each year is so different. We lost some playmakers at receiver, at D-line and in the secondary, so getting a chance for some young guys to step up, and they have their opportunity now, and it's been fun watching this team grow.
Chip Lindsey, our guest, head coach of the Troy Trojans, and one of your returning starters. You've got 9 of them on offense. Senior quarterback Caleb Barker, unbelievable last year before the knee injury. Some of the things that he's done to get back and what you expect from him this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think Caleb obviously was playing really well before the injury. So he's had a great spring. He was limited. He only did 7-on-7, didn't do any team. But you saw it really quick that he was in control out there on the field, very, very calm, had a great demeanor. I think has become one of the leaders, especially on offense. And obviously getting a chance to get on the field now, this is kind of going to be his team. And I think he appreciates that. Once you've missed some time for injury, I think it's always refreshing to get back. And I think things that maybe you take for granted, he's excited about. And it's his last go, and hopefully he'll play really well.
I'm interested in your schedule. Week one is Campbell. We know that this is a season and a year where you get 2 bye weeks. You got one right after the game against Campbell, and then immediately Southern Miss. So first off, you're familiar with that Eagles team, as you just mentioned, but how about the bye week after week one?
Oh, that's interesting for sure. You know what? Maybe it'll be a great thing. We'll try to make it a positive. You build up and you play the first game, and a lot of times old coaches will tell you the biggest improvement on your team is from week one to week two. Hopefully that also means week one to week three with a bye week, but it'll give us a chance, I think, to take a look at our guys against other people, and hopefully we'll play well, and then have the opportunity to get ready for a good Southern Miss team. Obviously, we played those guys last year when I was at Auburn, and then I coached there the 2 years before that. So familiar with that program. Jay does a great job. Hobson, the head coach there now, and they'll be ready to go. And good thing is we get them at home, so hopefully that'll help us.
As you finish out non-conference play at Akron, at Missouri, is that the type of schedule you'd like to see going forward, that type of non-conference schedule?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a great model. I mean, we don't take any of them for granted, obviously, but, you know, the opportunity to play a big one, you know, what they call money games or whatever, I think our kids come to Troy for that opportunity. We've had some success against Power Fives compared to other group of five schools, so that's one of the things I know our players are excited about. And then, obviously, playing two schools that are in our platform, so to speak, with Akron and Southern Miss, and I think that's always good. Get some of the crossover and different conferences. And then, obviously, I think the Sun Belt is as good a conference in Group of Five as there is. You look at the parity, it's really good football coaches in this league now, a lot of good players. And so it's definitely a tougher conference than it's ever been. But at the same time, it's also a lot of fun.
You mentioned earlier the history of the program, and when I think of Troy football, I think of great defenses and then individual defensive players that move on. What excites you about pairing some of your offensive brain power with what they do already?
Well, I think you're exactly right. Some of the best players in the history, you know, of the NFL, DeMarcus Ware, obviously speaks for himself. We've had great defenses there at Troy for sure over the years. And then the offense, kind of Coach Blakeney made a really coordinated effort in, I think, about 2006 to go to a spread offense and more of a fast pace. He hired Tony Franklin. Neil Brown came as his assistant. Tony left. Neil became the coordinator. Neil left. I came to Troy, not as the coordinator, but as a quarterback coach. And then now getting the opportunity to come back as the head coach. So we'll be very similar to what we've been for the last 13 years or so. But everybody has their own little tweaks and own little nuances of the offense. And I think the big thing for me is I want to build the offense around our playmakers, find out who our playmakers are, and let's find ways to get on the ball. It's really what it comes down to. Good football still wins. You got to have explosive plays and be good on third down and, you know, stop the run on defense and don't give up explosives. If you do that, you usually got a chance to win.
Coach, tell me about at least one more of those playmakers. He'll be a senior this year as well. Running back B.J. Smith led the Sun Belt in rushing during the regular season. How much better can he get?
Well, he's a guy that continues to work extremely hard. He'll hopefully have a great year again. He's a guy that's one of the leaders of our football team. Just an outstanding young man from he's up right up the road at Stanhope Elmore High School. Really kind of signifies kind of what we're about. Kind of a no nonsense team guy, and he's got some individual honors, but he'll be the first to give credit to the O-line and so forth. So looking forward to getting him going again. I think he'll hopefully have another great year and definitely be one of our playmakers.
Finishing up now with Chip Lindsey of Troy football. And since the last time you've been in the conference, they've split into divisions that then go to a conference title game. So your outlook on the division you find yourself in and the fact that that bad boy is played at home if you have the best record.
You know, it's exciting. I think anytime you have a championship game, it really kind of heightens everything for everybody. You know, we need to make sure that we're in that game, first of all. And that's going to be hard. Our side of our bracket, the side of our conference, obviously traditionally has been really good with Upstate, Georgia Southern. You know, you got Georgia State in there and Coastal Carolina, kind of a new program. And then if you're lucky enough to get through that, you're going to deal with Louisiana Lafayette and you're going to deal with Arkansas State. And so it's a tough league, but I think it's one that's exciting for the fans. And definitely you got to be ready to play every week.
And before we let you go, your familiarity with the Cajuns head coach, obviously you spent time at Arizona State, both he and Rob Sale did as well. So your thoughts on maybe what they're trying to get, like you said, on the other side of the aisle in the Western Division?
Yeah, obviously very familiar with Billy. He actually replaced me when I left Arizona State, and we've been friends for a while. He was the offensive coordinator at Clemson when I was a high school coach in Georgia. He recruited one of my quarterbacks, so very familiar with him. He'll do a great job, or he already has since he's been there, and just a good football coach, a good person, and obviously that they'll continue to grow and improve each year as well.
Coach, you know, we appreciate the time. Good luck this season. Cajun fans, look forward to seeing Troy coming to town November 23rd.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A lot of fun with Chip Lindsey, and we're just about to the end of our voyage on a hump day. Yes, it has been fun, but yes, we're just about out of real estate. The Astros, well, they always make it interesting, don't they, with these afternoon starts? When does B2BS begin? I knew it would end at 6, but yeah, we did get started kind of midway, early on, well, what have you, in the 4 o'clock hour. Between now and then, you heard some from Tommy Moffitt, director of LSU Strength and Conditioning, Sam Spiegelman, Rivals.com, great insight into LSU recruiting, plus the states of Louisiana and Texas, the talent that they're churning out. And you just heard my Q&A with Chip Lindsey. Great to sit down with the new head coach of the Troy Trojans a couple of days back in New Orleans. Today, you got it fresh and new. All right, we're out of real estate. It is time to send you, though, to Five Guys Stories and Lies. Don Allen and Company, 6 until 8 p.m., so don't go anywhere. The fun continues. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Stick right here with us on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We'll catch you tomorrow at the Tap Room River Ranch.